Praise God. Greetings, church. I thank God for giving me this one more time to come before you and to stand before God's holy word and to read from this beautiful psalm. Psalm chapter 27 is not a strange psalm to most of us. It's a psalm that we have read. It's a psalm that we have heard many sermons on. It's a psalm that a lot of us are very familiar with. But this is a psalm that God has put in my heart, and it's something that is very dear to me. It is a psalm that I keep going to many, many, many times in my personal life, in my prayer life, and even in my difficult circumstances. This is a psalm that's going through. This is a psalm of David. This is a psalm that is written by David, and if you look at this psalm closely, you can see that this psalm can be divided into four different parts. From Psalm 27, verse 1 onwards to verse 3, it becomes clear that David is talking about his scenario, his experience, what is going on around him. Verses 4 to verse 7, from verse 4 to verse 6, we see that now David gets an experience of the Lord, and he is speaking to God about his situation. From verses 7 to verses 12, we see that David directs his prayer directly to God, and he's asking God for deliverance. And verses 13 and 14 is the conclusion of this psalm, and David places his hope in the Lord. This is a psalm that is very useful in every circumstance of our life. You see, in this psalm, when we just start reading the first verse, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread?" David is declaring his trust and his hope in the Lord. We may ask David, "David, what is the scenario that is going on around you? What is the circumstance that you're experiencing in your life? Why are you placing this trust in the Lord?" He's saying, "Whom shall I fear? Janare perdicum, whom shall I fear?" The reason why he is asking this question of whom shall I fear is because we will understand that once you read verses 2 and 3. It says there, "When evildoers come upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident." You can imagine that David is writing this psalm in the midst of a great battle. There's a great war, and he's being surrounded by a giant host, which is an army that's gathered around David. Everywhere he sees, there are enemies that are turned against him. If you look at David's life, we see that David, even when he was anointed by the Lord, he was chased by King Saul like a dog. He was chased, and he said, "Am I a flea that you need to chase me?" And even after he got the kingdom, even when he got the kingdom, he experienced so much pain. There were times he had to fight against his own Israelites. He had to fight against the people who were loyal to Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul. There were times where he had to fight against the Philistines. There were times when he had to fight against the Ammonites and the Aramites, the Syrians that came against the people of God and people of Israel. There were times when he had to stand up, and he was chased by his son Absalom. Later on, we see that even people were raising up as a revolt against him. There were Shimei and different people that raised up. When David looks around him, all he sees is people standing up against him. Even in his own household, his own son is turning against him and chased him out of the palace. And David is saying, "Whom shall I fear?" Because everywhere around him, he sees this army and his enemies coming against him. Maybe you are going through a circumstance where you are looking all around you, and you're facing troubles and persecution and pain, and you're going through different difficult circumstances, and you don't know where your help is going to come from. Maybe all you look around you, you look at your house situation, you look at your financial situation, you look at your mental situation, your emotional situation, your spiritual situation, your circumstances with your relatives back home. Maybe your health is affected, and all it seems to be rising up against you. Everything seems to be oppressing you. There is no way, and you seem that everything, every circumstance is against you. And this seems to be the circumstance where David finds himself. David is writing the psalm not when it is easy. David is not writing the psalm when he's experiencing the meadow or the pasture. David is writing this psalm when he's facing a great battle in front of him, where he sees oppression and pain around him. Maybe some of you might find yourself there this morning. But then I want you to focus on the rest of the verses that David is talking about. I want to focus on verse 4. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because David realized that even when God came around, that even if God could do anything for him, the one thing he desires is to seek the Lord so that he could dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I imagine that David is in this scenario where he's facing a great battle or a great army around him, where enemies are standing against him. And he's in pain and he's in agony and he doesn't know how he's going to face his circumstances. In the midst of that, it seems like almost God appeared to David and said, "What do you want, David? David, what do you want? Nyan endo cheyanam Davide ninakku vendi. What should I do for you?" If God asks you that question in the midst of your circumstance, in the midst of your difficulty, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your oppression, in the midst of your all the things that are going wrong in your life, if God came to you and said, "One thing I ask, one thing you desire, name it, I will give it to you," what will be our heart's desire? David could have easily said, "Lord, I pray that my enemies will be defeated." David could have easily said, "Give me peace from all sides." David could have easily said, "Give me enough finances so that I can make sure that all these people can be destroyed and defeated." David could have easily said, "Let no enemy rise against me." David could have easily said, "Let every person that stands against my household be destroyed." David could have easily said, "Expand my borders and make sure my kingdom is as large as every other kingdom." David had so many options before him. And when God appeared to David, David said, "One thing I ask of the Lord, one thing do I seek, one thing I do desire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever and gaze upon the beauty of his holiness." Children of God, let me remind you this morning that no matter what your circumstances are, if your eyes are fixed on Jesus, if your eyes are fixed on Jesus and your hope is in him and your trust is in him, he will deliver you. He is a faithful God. Hallelujah. In the New Testament, we come across a very similar story. It's a very familiar story, so I'm not taking it. Peter is in the boat and Jesus is passing by and walking on the water. It is a very difficult circumstance because the boat is rocking and it is shaking because of the storm. But Jesus is walking on the water. Jesus says, "It is I, do not be afraid," because the disciples are very afraid. Then Peter says, "If it is you, Lord, let me come." And Peter stepped out of his boat and walked on water. But when he saw his circumstance around him, when he saw the waves and the wind and the roar and all the waters rise up against him, Peter's eyes was distracted and he started looking at the waves. He started worrying about the wind. He looked at his problems and he started sinking. Children of God, when our eyes are fixed on our problem, when our eyes are fixed on the problem, we might be starting to experience the pain of drowning. We might experience the feeling like we are sinking. But Jesus is not a God who abandons. Jesus is not a God who abandoned Peter. He walked out to Peter and held forth his arm, took Peter by the hand and walked with him towards the boat. And as soon as Jesus got in the boat, the winds and the waves were silenced. The storm was ceased to be no more and the boat reached its destination. Let me tell you, children of God, if our eyes are fixed on Jesus, if our eyes are fixed fixed on Jesus as the hope of our salvation, then we have no reason to be afraid, because Jesus is the one. He is the calm in the middle of the storm. He is the one who calms the winds and the waves. Children of God, I thank you for each and every one of you who has come here to spend time in his presence this Sunday morning, because your eyes are called not to fix on me, not to fix on Saji Pastor, not to fix on the worship team, not to fix on just the screen. Our eyes are called to fix on Jesus, on the Lord and Savior, and to gaze upon the beauty of his holiness, to meditate in his temple. And let me tell you, children of God, no matter what difficulty you're going through, no matter what painful circumstance you're going through, no matter what oppression you're facing in your personal life, in your mental life, in your emotional life, in your financial circumstances, in your health, our God, if you fix your eyes on him, you will start seeing that you can walk on the water and the water will not claim victory over you. Hallelujah. If church, you are with me with this morning, let us shout out a hallelujah to our Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. As we keep going and we read verse 5 and 6, for in the day of the temple trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. He will lift me up on a rock, and now my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing. Yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hallelujah. When we look at this psalm, verse 5 and 6, we see that God is saying, David trusts that God will cover him and will protect him. When you read verse 5 and 6, we will think, David, your troubles are over. Your painful circumstances are over. Your enemies have gone. They have disappeared. There is no more oppression in his life. But it's not true. Because in verse 7 to 12, we see that David is continuing to pray. And he starts, instead of talking about God, you know, in verses 4, 5, 6, he's talking about God in the third person. He's talking about God as if he's talking to someone else about his God. But in verses 7 to 12, he's talking to God directly. He starts talking in the second person. So his prayer is now to God. He's praying now to God and said, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice." And in verse 9, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. This is the person who has not been saved yet. You see, children of God, sometimes our eyes can be fixed on Jesus, and yet sometimes we can experience continued state of trouble. Maybe you're there. Maybe this morning you could be in a place where, Lord, I fix my eyes on you. My eyes are on you. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And maybe your eyes are fixed on him. And yet you might be still experiencing difficult circumstances in your life. To that, David concludes with these words in verses 13 and 14. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. You see, David remembers one thing. God will come. In the very beginning, he said, the Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I dread? In verses 13 and 14, David has not been rescued from his situation. David has not been saved from his enemies. David's enemies have not disappeared. He only declared that he wants to see God. You see, children of God, when your eyes are fixed on Jesus, sometimes even then your troubles will still remain. When Jesus and Peter were walking towards the boat, the winds and the waves were still up. Jesus walks with us in the middle of the storm. Does not mean the storm will always disappear. Because you have your eyes fixed on Jesus, does not mean the waves and the wind will stop. Sometimes the storm continues, but Jesus promises us this one thing. He will never leave us nor abandon us. So even in the midst of your storm, my God is walking with you. He is with you. And in the end, he says, David would have despaired unless he believed that he would see the goodness of the Lord. Let us place our belief and our faith in our good God. He is a just and faithful God. He is faithful even when we are unfaithful. He is loyal. His love is steadfast. And that is why David ends in verse 14 saying, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. If your heart is weak and it is wavering and shaking this morning, this is what the Lord has to say to you. Wait upon him. Those who wait upon the Lord, their strength shall be renewed. They will soar like eagles. Who are they? Those who wait upon the Lord. If this morning you are feeling sad or you're hurting and you can't share with anyone your circumstances, call out upon the name of the Lord and wait on him. Place your trust and belief in him. Our God is a good God. He is faithful. He is with you in your circumstances. He is with you in the midst of your storm. He will never leave us nor abandon us. I just want to end my words here. And I just want us to thank God just because of who he is. I want us to believe that just like David said today, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I dread? The Lord is my defense. The Lord is my shield. The Lord is my protector. One thing I ask of the Lord, let us not ask for anything else. One thing do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever and gaze upon the beauty of your holiness. If God could come and tell you today, dear brother, dear sister, what do you want? What do you ask of me? Let our answer be like David's. Not asking for a quick fix, not answering for the removal of our problems. Let us pray that we can fix our eyes on Jesus and see the beauty of his holiness and meditate in his temple. And let us wait upon the Lord. Let us not lose hope. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father God, we thank you, Father, for this beautiful morning that you've given to us, Lord. We pray for each and every single person, Father, who has gathered in church today. Lord, we don't know what circumstances people are going through in their personal life. We don't know what circumstances they might be going through personally that they have shared with no one. But Lord, we trust a God who walks with us in the middle of the storm. You are a God who does not abandon us when we start sinking, even when we lose hope, even when we lose faith. Even when we start sinking and we are shattered and we think that the waves are going to drown us, Lord, you are a God who reaches out and takes us hold by hand and puts us on a rock and makes us walk in the midst of the storm, showing that, Lord, you have victory of the storm. You are stronger than any circumstance we face. Every mountain that we see is nothing to you, Father. Every valley that we face, Lord, is nothing to you. Lord God, we thank you that you are our deliverer. Who shall we be afraid of? Whom shall we dread? Because God of Jacob is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. Father, this morning we place our eyes on you and we wait upon you because you are faithful. You are always faithful. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on what you can do. Thank you, Father, Lord Jesus, for speaking to us this morning. Father, encourage us and uplift us. If any of us need your strength, strengthen us. If any of us need your hand, give us your hand. If any of us need your blessing, give us your blessing. If any of us need, oh Father, the waves and the winds to be quiet, Father, silence them. We have faith in you. We trust in you. In Jesus' mighty precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.